Chapter 24.
Damn it!
I swore.
This is my only winter coat!
I closed my eyes for a second and tried to focus my mind to the task. A murk wasn't like other forms of fairy glamour. Those could create appearance and could simulate emotional states related to that appearance. The murk was a conjuration, something physical, tangible, that actually did exist and would continue to do so as long as the Hobbs gave it enough juice, metaphorically speaking. Wind might do it. A big enough wind could push the murk away. But it would have to be an awful lot of wind. The little gale I'd called up to handle Torelli's hitters would barely make a dent in it. I could probably do something more violent and widespread, but when it comes to moving matter around, you don't get something for nothing. There was no way I'd be able to maintain that kind of blast long enough to get the job done. I might be able to cut the murk off from the Hobbs. If I could sever that connection, it would prevent them from pouring constant energy into it, and poof, the murk would resume its natural state as ectoplasm. Of course, cutting them off wouldn't be a cakewalk. I would need some means of creating a channel to each and every Hob in order to be sure I got the job done. I didn't have anything I could use as a focus, and I had no idea how many of them were out there, anyway. An empowered circle could cut the power to a spell from the other side of the equation, isolating the Hobs from the flow of energy outside the circle. But the circle would need to encompass the entire freaking building. I doubted the Hobbs would be considerate enough to let me run outside and sprint around an entire Chicago city block to fire up a circle. Besides, I didn't have that much chalk. Running water can ground out a spell if there's enough of it, but given that we were inside a building, that wasn't in the cards. So how the hell was I supposed to cut off this stupid spell, given the pathetic resources I had? It isn't like there was a whole lot of ways to rob a widespread working of its power. My nose throbbed harder, and I leaned my head back, turning my face upward. Sometimes doing that seemed to reduce the pressure and ease the pain a little. I stared up at the office ceiling, which had been installed at a height of 10 or 11 feet, rather than leaving the place open to the cavernous reaches of the old station, and beat my head against the proverbial wall. The ceiling was one of those drop-down setups, a metal framework supporting dreary yet cost-effective rectangles of acoustic material, interrupted every few yards by the ugly little cowboy spur of an automatic firefighting sprinkler. My eyes widened.
"Ha!" I said, and threw my arms up in the air. "Ha, ha, 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 ha! I am wizard! Hear me roar!"
Mouse gave me an oblique look and sidled a step farther away from me.
"And well you should," I bellowed, pointing at the dog, "for I am a fearsome bringer of fire."
I held up my right hand and with a murmur called up the tiny sphere of flame. The spell stuttered and coughed before it coalesced, and even then the light was barely brighter than a candle.
"Harry?" Michael asked in that tone of voice people use when they talk to crazy people. "What are you doing?"
The drywall to one side of the door suddenly buckled as a Hobbs' claws began ripping through it. Michael bobbed to one side, temporarily leaving the door, held his thumb up to the wall as if judging where the stud would be, and then ran Amorakius at an angle through the drywall. The sword came back hissing and spitting while another Hob howled with pain.
"Without the murk, these things are in trouble," I said. "Carol, be a dear and roll that chair over here."
Carol, her eyes very wide, her face very pale, did so. She gave the chair a little push so that it came the last 6 feet on its own. Michael's shoulder hit the door as another Hob tried to push in. The creature wasn't stupid. It didn't keep trying to force the door when Amorakius plunged through the wood as if it had been a rice paper screen, and Michael's sword came back unstained.
"Whatever you're going to do, sooner would be better than later."
2 minutes, I said. I rolled the chair to the right spot and stood up on it. I wobbled for a second and stabilized myself and quickly unscrewed the sprinkler from its housing. Foul-smelling water rushed out in its wake, which I had expected and mostly avoided. Granted, I hadn't expected it to smell quite so overwhelmingly stagnant, though I should have. Many sprinkler systems have closed holding tanks, and God only knew how many years that water had been in there, waiting to be used.